بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب ذكري الرضا الرضا بالمعصيتي. The chapter with regards to being pleased with disobedience, being pleased with disobedience. And no doubt this is from the diseases of the heart, that the heart will be overcome with lust and desires and whims and preference to the call of one's soul and this present life and the glitter and the delight of this present life, showing preference to that over the command of Allah and the command of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a means to corrupt the heart. If the heart becomes corrupted, it will become pleased with disobedience, and it will like that, and it will show preference to that. So this is what the author is referring to here. رحمه الله تعالى. He says, روية عن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه أنه قال هلكت هلكت إن لم يعرف قلبك المعروفة وينكر المنكر. It's been narrated from Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه that he said, meaning that this is al-hadith al-mawquf, يعني موقوفا على Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu min qawlihi. This is the statement of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. He says that you have been destroyed, meaning you're finished, you have lost entirely and failed, if your heart does not know that which is good and disapprove of that which is evil. In lam ya'rif qalbuka al-ma'rufa wa yunkir al-munkar. If your heart does not know al-ma'ruf, al-ma'ruf is that which is good, considered good in the legislation, and likewise considered good in the sound mind and intellect. Yani they coincide. So that which is good is that which Allah He has commanded and allowed and made permissible, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if your heart is not able to identify this and to know this, or to prefer this and like this and love this, then this is a sign of misguidance. And likewise, yunkir al-munkar, to find fault with evil and to disapprove of evil and foulness and wickedness. And foulness and wickedness and evil, the munkar, is everything that Allah has forbidden, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has prohibited, whether directly in His book or on the tongue of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are all called munkarat, evils, and ways that are foul. And if a person's heart does not disapprove of these evils, meaning he's pleased with that, according to Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, this is the time a person will be destroyed, meaning he would have lost his soul in this manner. The evidence is here. The evidence for the author here is وَلَمْ يُنْكِرْ الْمُنْكَرْ. If your heart does not disapprove of evil, and because the lowest level of faith is that the heart, it will disapprove of that, and it will dislike that. So if the heart begins to love and prefer and to like evil and wickedness and that which is impermissible and foulness, this is a sign that iman has left his heart. This is a sign that sincere faith has left his heart. وَلِيَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ. And it's been narrated from the hadith of Abi Sa'id radiyallahu anhu, collected by Imam Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرُ بِيَدِي فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِي فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِي فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَدْنَى الْإِيمَانِ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that whoever from amongst you he sees an evil, then let him change it with his hand. And if he's not able to, then let him change it with his tongue. And if he's not able to, then let him change it or hate it in his heart. In his heart, he would disapprove of that. And this is the lowest level of faith. Then this is the lowest level of faith. Yani there's nothing after that. There's no faith after that. If a person, he sees evil, he didn't at least disapprove of that and dislike that and detest that in his heart, even if he did not have the right and the authority to change it with his hand. For example, if it's in society and he's not a ruler, he's not a leader, he doesn't have authority. He doesn't have authority. Or if he's not the father of the household or the one who is the caretaker, he doesn't have authority. Meaning these are the ones who have authority to change it with the hand. The one who is the ruler, the one who has authority in the land. And he from the government and the likes like this, the rulers, they have the ability and the authority to change the munkar with the hand, yani physically. As for the people, we don't have that, except for with regards to those who are under our authority. So if you have a wife or a child under your care and the likes like this, then you have the authority over them and you can change the evil with your hand. You can change the evil with your hand. Now, as for other than that, then we don't have that ability. So then one, he will change it with his tongue if he's able to likewise. And there are methodologies for that as well. And it will be in a noble and a good manner. A noble in a good manner. And the munkarat that are in society, they will be addressed, yani, if it's coming from the ruler or the leaders, yani, in privacy. And this is a well-known methodology of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. And as for with the rest of the people, then also it will be according to wisdom and according to one's status and rank and according to that which is good. And if he's not able to do this nor that, then he would at least, bare minimum, he would dislike that in his heart. Yunkiruhu qalbuhu. His heart will disapprove of that, and his heart will dislike that, and this is a sign of faith. Yani, this is a sign of faith. So the point is that if that is not in the heart, this is a sign that the faith is leaving and left. And for this reason, many of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned about the issue of a sihr. من فعله أرضي به. The sihr, من فعله أرضي به كفر. The one who performs magic, or if he's pleased with it, then he disbelieved. And this is from this aspect here, the fact that yani, from the greatest of evils and aspects of disbelief is magic. So the one who performs it, he is a disbeliever by seeking aid and help and drawing near to the shayateen with that which is pleasing to them. And the one who is pleased with that likewise is a sign he has no faith. So therefore he disbelieved in this matter. He disbelieved in this manner for loving kufr and disbelief. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is the point the author is making here, that the heart can become sick and start to love and like the disbelief. And the sign of that, if a person, or like disobedience, and the sign of that is if a person, he does not find fault with the evils around him and disapprove of that. It becomes normal for him. Rather, his heart will disapprove of that. If he's able to, he would advise in a good manner. And if he has the authority, he will change it with his hand. But the bare minimum, and the point for the author, rahimahullah, is that the heart will dislike this affair and he'll find disapproval with that. He will not accept it and be pleased with that and like that and desire that. This is the case. So he says, wali muslimin anhu. Wali muslimin anhu. And also from Muslim, anhu, yani an Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. Anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah, he says, ما من نبي بعثه الله في أمة قبلي إلا كان له من أمته حواريون إلا كان من أمته حواريون وأصحاب يأخذون بسنته ويقتدون بأمره. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he mentioned in his narration in Sahih Muslim from the Hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud رضي الله عنه that there is no prophet that Allah has sent before me. There is no prophet that Allah has sent amongst any nation before me, except that from his nation, yani from his followers, from his ummah, there were those who were hawariyun and ashab. The hawariyun, yani the disciples. Yani that's how it's translated in English. But what is considered here is the followers and the students. And yani atba' wa talamith. But the hawariyun, they're the specific and those who are steadfast and upright and following the prophets and messengers. And they were those who were selected and chosen from the purest of the people and mankind to be the followers and supporters and aiders, those who aided the prophets. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that there's no nation that has come, or there's no prophet that was sent to a nation, except that from his nation he had disciples like this. He had followers and students, people who were following him and they were aiding him in this manner. يَأْخُذُونَ بِسُنَّتِهِ وَيَكْتَدُونَ بِأَمْرِهِ. And they were following his sunnah. And in the sunnah of that prophet, the sunnah, the way, the methodology, the revelation that was revealed to that prophet, they were taking to that. They were following that. Meaning this is where they got their knowledge from. وَيَكْتَدُونَ بِأَمْرِهِ. And they were complying and following likewise his commandment. This is the way of those حواريون and the أصحاب, يعني الأتباع والتلاميذ الأنبياء السابقين alayhim as-salatu was-salam, that they were holding fast to the sunnah of their prophet and they were following the command of their prophet. An indication that those disciples or those noble followers and upright students of those great prophets, that they were people who derived their knowledge from the sunnah and the revelation that was revealed to the prophet of their time. Therefore, their knowledge has one source, and that is from the revelation. So therefore, their knowledge is good and correct. Therefore, the knowledge is good and correct. So in this manner, they're safe from the shubuhat. They're safe from the shubuhat. Any deviation, they're safe from deviation. They're safe from jahil and shahawat, because they derive their knowledge from the sunnah of their prophet. The shubuhat. Yani they're safe from the shubuhat because they derive their knowledge from the sunnah of their prophet. Likewise, وَيَقْتَدُونَ بِأَمْرِهِ, and they're complying and following his command. And they're following his command, meaning they obey their prophet likewise. They obey their prophet likewise and follow him. So therefore, in this manner, they're safe from the shahawat. Safe from the shahawat. So therefore, this issue has a direct relationship with that which has preceded. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's describing these people, these followers, the true followers of the prophets that have preceded, that this was their way and their methodology, that they derived their knowledge, and the knowledge that they had and that which they were upon was from the sunnah of the prophet of their time. This is an indication to the source and the masdar and the place that they receive knowledge from. And this is the case for success. And to receive knowledge from the revelation and the legislation that is revealed to a prophet. And the final prophet now is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, this is where the proper knowledge comes from. And this is the means to remove ignorance and misguidance. And likewise, by complying to that, one will be upright and steadfast upon the straight path. This is the case of those Hawariyun wa Ashab. Then he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثُمَّ إِنَّهَا تَخْرُفُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خُرُوفٌ. And then after that, khuruf, any misguided individuals will come after him. The people of knowledge, as I mentioned, khuruf is the plural of khalf. And al-khalf is the one who comes after a people, but they will come upon shar. They will come upon evil. We have two words, khalaf and khalf. They mentioned the khalaf, yani is somebody who comes after somebody in goodness. We have the salaf and the khalaf. But al-khalf, bisukun al-lam. This is referring to somebody who comes after somebody, but they are upon a wicked way and a foul way. فَخَالَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he referred to this issue of the khalf, and those people who come after, and they neglected their prayer, and they were misguided in this manner, and therefore they were going to receive a severe punishment. But here, this is what is being referred to. The plural of khalf is khuruf. تَخْرُفُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خُرُوفٌ. What are these foul people after them? What do they say? يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا لَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They say that which they do not do, and they do that which they are not commanded. This is the attribute of those foul people that will come later. Yani after the generation of a salaf as-salih. After the generation of a salaf as-salih, what will happen? تَخْرُفُهُمْ خُرُوفٌ. يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ. They say that which they do not do. They say that which they do not do, وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا لَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. And they do that which they are not commanded. Meaning they're people of innovation. They're people of innovation. And they claim that they're following the deen. And they claim that they're following the sharia. And they claim that they're establishing Islam. And they're claiming this and they're claiming that. But in reality, their knowledge is derived from other than the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and their understanding is contrary to that of those who have preceded. And they're upon a foul and evil way, and they do that which they are not commanded. Meaning they follow innovations and misguidance in their religion. So these people, they are described with contrary to that. Meaning they have been corrupted in their knowledge and in their actions. And this is the issue of the people of innovation. وَرِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, فَمَنْ جَاهَدَهُمْ بِيَدِهِ فَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. The one who strives against them with his hand, then he's a believer. وَمَنْ جَاهَدَهُمْ بِلِسَانِهِ فَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. And whoever strives against them, any of these misguided innovators in this manner like this, then he's a believer. فَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. And whoever strives against him with his tongue, then he's a believer. وَمَنْ جَاهَدَهُمْ بِقَلْبِهِ فَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. This is the evidence here, the point of evidence for the author. And whoever strives against them with his heart, and in disapproval of that which they say and that which they're upon and that which they do, فَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Then he's a believer. وليس وراء ذلك من الإيمان حبة خردل. And there is no faith after this. There's no faith after this whatsoever, but not even a mustard seed's weight. Yani, this is the least of the affair. Either to be able to change the innovations and the falsehood with one's hand, if he has authority, or to change it with his tongue, if he has the ability and he's qualified to speak yani, in these affairs. And again, this is not something that the layman, they will get involved in, speaking with his, any changing with the hand, nor changing it with the tongue, any innovations and misguidance and misunderstandings in the religion. This is something for the people of knowledge and those who are qualified to advance upon and to deal with and to treat and to rectify and to refute and to clarify. So this is again, according to one's ability. But at least, the point here, for the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, فَمَنْ جَهَدَهُمْ بِقَلْبِهِ. And he disapproved of them and he disliked them and he detested them and the innovations that they're upon. And the innovations that they're upon, فَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, then he's a believer. And this is the least level. After this, if a person, he did not detest these innovations and these false ways that these people are upon, then there's not even a mustard grain's weight of iman in his heart. So the point is here, يعني فَمَنْ جَهَدَهُ وَمَنْ جَهَدَهُ بِقَلْبِهِ. And to dislike and to disapprove of innovations and misguidance and deviation in the religion. So now the author, he says, وَلَهُ عَنْ أُمِّ سَلَمَةَ مَرْفُوعًا وَلَهُ يعني وَلِمُسْلِمٍ. Also in Sahih Muslim, from the Haditha Salama رضي الله عنها مَرْفُوعًا, يعني from the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, إنه يستعمل عليكم أمراء فتعرفون وتنكرون فمن كره فقد برئ ومن أنكر فقد سلم ولكن من رضي وتابع. The author, he mentioned that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in this narration that verily there will be leaders, there will be rulers who will be used against you. Any rulers that will come and they will have authority over you. فَتَعْرِفُونَ وَتُنْكِرُونَ. And some of the things that they do, you agree with that and you know that it's from the goodness, and other things that you see them doing, you will disapprove of. So you'll see these rulers, that have authority over you. Some of the things that they're doing, you approve of that and you know that it's correct and right. And other things that you see them doing, تُنْكِرُونَهُ, you disapprove of that and you find it to be falsehood and not allowed. So then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَمَنْ كَرِهَا فَقَدْ بَرِئَ. يعني فَقَدْ بَرِئَ. فَمَنْ كَرِهَ فَقَدْ بَرِئَ. يعني the one who he dislikes what the evil that they're upon, and he disapproves of that, the evil that they're upon, he dislikes that, then verily he is free of blame. فَقَدْ بَرِئَ. يعني فَقَدْ بَرِئَتْ ذِمَّتُهُ. بَرِئَتْ ذِمَّتُهُ. We have talked about this word before in previous classes. بَرَأَتُ الذِّمَّةِ. الذِّمَّةِ, what is intended here is al-mas'uliyyah, the responsibility that's upon a person to fulfill the obligation. For example, the one who performed the obligatory prayer of Maghrib, before he had performed that prayer, yani his dhimmatuhu mashghula bihadha al-wajib, then his responsibility, yani the responsibility to perform that obligation remains upon him, and he's held accountable for that. But whenever he prayed it and he fulfilled that obligation, now he is innocent of that obligation and he has freed himself from that obligation. That obligation is removed from him. And from his responsibility, he has taken care of that. So this is the issue here. Yani, that one is free of blame, and the responsibility that was upon him has been removed, and the obligation that was upon him that he will be held accountable for has been fulfilled. So therefore, he is not blameworthy with regards to this issue. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's saying about these rulers, these rulers that you see some things from them that you approve of and other things from them that you disapprove of, the one who dislikes this affair, to see these affairs that one disapproves of, meaning this is affair of the heart, he disliked that, then he's free of blame, he's innocent from this affair, and he has fulfilled the obligation of disliking this, and this is what is upon him, to see the evils and to dislike that. فَقَدْ بَرِئَ, and he bari'at dhimmatuhu, meaning he's free of blame. وَمَنْ أَنْكَرَ فَقَدْ سَلِمَ, and the one who disapproved of that, if he disliked it, and he disliked it in his heart, but then if he even disapproved of that, even if his heart disapproved of that, yani even more than disliking it. He disliked it, but then he disapproved of that and did not care or have concern for it whatsoever. Then faqad salim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, faqad salim. And now he's safe. He's safe. Meaning safe from falling into that and following that. So first he would dislike that and then he would disapprove of it. By disliking that, he's free of blame. He's free of blame for falling into the issue of having pleasure and being pleased with disobedience and with munkarat. And then by having inkar in his heart and disapproving of it likewise, and now he disliked it, then he disapproved of it. In this manner, he's free from following it likewise. So he's free of blame and free from falling into it and following behind it and participating in it. So this is the meaning of the narration. فَقَدْ بَرِئَ وَفَقَدْ سَلِمَ. Yani he's free of blame and likewise he's safe from falling into and being tried by it. By doing what? By having karaha in his heart and by having also an inkar. By disliking it and detesting it and then disapproving of it. And deeming it to be not allowed. And something that is not approved of. And it's not permissible. And it's not good. And it's not nice. And he disapproved of it entirely. In this manner his heart is safe. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَلَكِنْ مَنْ رَضِيَ وَتَابَعَ وَلَكِنْ مَنْ رَضِيَ وَتَابَعَ. And this is the one who will be punished and held accountable. But as for the one who is pleased with it, and he pleased with those munkarat, and then he follows that, meaning he falls into it, this is the one who will be held accountable. This is the one who will be held accountable. The author, he says, مَنْ كَرِهَ بِقَلْبِهِ وَأَنْكَرَ بِقَلْبِهِ. This is the commentary of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, meaning the one who disliked it in his heart, and he disapproved of it in his heart. And he disapproved of it in his heart. And even this narration in Sahih Muslim, there is another, the narration continues after this, وَلَكِنْ مَنْ رَضِيَ وَتَابَعَ. But the one who was pleased, and he follows it, meaning he will be punished and held accountable. قَالُوا, they said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَلَا نُقَاتِلُهُمْ. They said to him, O Messenger of Allah, should we not fight them? And if we see these rulers that have authority over us, and they do some things that we approve of and other things that we disapprove of, and in this manner that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, they asked him, should we not fight them? And should we not fight them because of these affairs that they are establishing which are contrary and that we disapprove of? Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la ma sallu. No, do not fight them so long as they've established the prayer. So long as they establish the prayer. So the prayer will be established and there will be rulers. Yani the rulers are establishing the prayer, but along with that there are munkarat in the society and things that are disapproved of and not allowed. Then at this time what one will do, he will himself dislike that. He would dislike the presence of that in his society, and then he would disapprove of that in his heart likewise. And in this manner he's safe. And if he's from the people who have the ability to clarify to others the falsehood of this affair and to warn them from that, or if he has the ability to advise the ruler and the likes like this in the proper manner, then he will do that. But if not, then this is what he will suffice with. يَقْرَأُهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ وَيُنْكِرُهُ بِقَلْبِهِ. يَقْرَأُهُ بِقَلْبِهِ وَيُنْكِرُهُ بِقَلْبِهِ. He will dislike that and he will detest of that. And then he will take the means to avoid that and stay away from that and save himself and his family and loved ones from this affair. So this is the issue. The point is that, one, he will dislike it in his heart. This is the minimum amount, to dislike it in the heart and to disapprove of it. In this manner, he will be safe, and he will be free from blame, and he will be safe from being tried by these affairs. So the author, he says, وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ غَيْرِ صَحِيحٍ. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ غَيْرِ صَحِيحٍ. يعني in a narration from other than the authentic يعني narrations. بَعْدَ وَتَابَأَ فَأُولَئِكُهُمُ الْهَادِكُونَ. And after the statement وَتَابَعَ, and then they follow likewise, there's another narration that mentions that it's not authentic. فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْهَادِكُونَ. And these are the ones who will be destroyed. And those who are pleased with the munkarat, with the evils, and they follow that. These are the ones who will be, destroyed. And as he mentioned here, this extra wording is not authentic, but the meaning is clear. That those who are pleased with these munkarat and these evils, and they fall into that and they follow that, then no doubt they are the ones who have lost. They have lost their souls to misguidance and to desires. They have lost their souls to misguidance and to desires. There's an authentic wording that the muhakkak he mentioned at the bottom, and that from the hadith of Abdullah bin Abbasin, radiyallahu anhumah, that in the end of one of these wordings, of a similar narration like this, وَمَنْ خَارَطَهُمْ هَلَكَ, and the one who mixes with them and goes along with them, any of those people upon those munkarat and the likes like this, they will be destroyed. They will be destroyed. So this is the case here. The point is that the heart has to disapprove of all actions of disobedience and all of the evils that are not allowed and impermissible. To disapprove of alcohol and fornication, to disapprove before that of shirk, to disapprove of shirk and calling on the graves and calling on the saints and calling on the mashaykh, and to disapprove of innovations, to disapprove of innovations of all types. And from the disapproval of that is that one, he will not support those people that are upon that, and he will not support their masajid, and he will not give them money for them to establish the masajid of the people of bid'ah, that is known that this is a masjid that's established upon the methodology of the Ikhwan Muslimun or Jamaat al-Tabligh or any of the other deviant ways. And some of the masajid, any other than the masajid of Ahlul Sunnah, they will be maybe the administration, they're laymen, and there's no specific any methodology they're following. They believe that themselves they're from Ahlul Sunnah, but they're ignorant. So there are some things that maybe are not correct there, but they're not innovators in themselves. So these people, you try to guide them and help them. But what I'm referring to now is those who are staunch and clearly upon a way of misguidance and following the deviated paths and deviated groups and parties, and in their masajid like this, one would never support them. He would never support them and support their innovation. Rather, he would make inkar of that. He would not support them by joining them if he didn't have to, unless that's the only masjid in his neighborhood. And then he would go there and pray and leave and ask Allah to help him out from this great trial, to be tried in a community where there's no masjid except for masjid of the people of innovation, waliyadu billah. But this is the case. And so a believer, he would not support the innovators, especially if they have innovation that leads to disbelief, like calling on the graves and calling on the saints and believing that it's allowed to call on the dead and the likes like this, and that this is a foul way. Or those who celebrate the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then likewise believing that the Prophet, he has knowledge of the unseen, and other than that, all of this is falsehood and evil, and well, he will not support that whatsoever. Rather, he will reject that and disapprove of that and dislike that. He will reject that and disapprove of that and dislike that. Any bare minimum, if he came to one of these masajid and he's driving around through the neighborhood working in the likes like this, or he's traveling and he looks for a masjid on GPS, and then he finds himself in the masjid of one of these people, and if he can advise them, he'll advise them, but at very minimum he would hate that. He'll be like, "Audhu billah." Then he will realize likewise the great blessing that he has if he's in a community where there's people establishing the sunnah and the masjid is established upon the sunnah. The point is to dislike these affairs, shirk, with regards to the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and innovation, bid'ah, with regards to the right of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first and foremost, and then after that likewise, disapproving of the evils in society from the actions of disobedience, from the actions of disobedience. After this, the author, he says, Babu dhikri tamanni al-ma'siyah wal-hirsi alayha. The chapter with regards to hoping for disobedience. And before he is pleased with it, now he's lusting for it. He hopes that he will be able to do it, and he's diligent, trying to perform it. And he will become pleased with that, and then he will strive for it, he will make effort for it, he will desire it, and he will love it, and he will want it. And then he will find himself in situations where he's preparing himself and his circumstances to disobey Allah. And he is setting up the board that he's looking at, meaning his life, and he's preparing and making all the efforts that he can, and his whole goal is to do something in the disobedience of Allah. And his whole goal is to do something in the disobedience of Allah. And he's hoping for that, and he's striving for that, and he's diligent to perform that and to do that. This is the issue here. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned, and what is being referred to here is al-azm. Yani al-azm wal-hirs ala al-ma'siyah, the one who's determined to do some action of disobedience. If it's in his heart and he's determined to do it, and he's not hesitant, and he has decided in his mind that he's going to perform this action or say this statement or do this deed, and it's something that's impermissible. This person here, whether he performed it or not, he's sinning. whether he performed it or not, he's sinning. And if he performed it, then no doubt the sin is greater. But if he in his heart has decided that he's going to do this action, and he has determination to perform it, and then he's not able to perform it for whatever the reason may be, he's not able to, for example, he had prepared to perform this action, and then suddenly something interrupted him, and he was not able to go through with it, he has the sin of that action. He has the sin of that action by his intention. Unless he left that action for the sake of Allah and out of fear of Allah, now he will have a reward. Or even if he had intended to do that wholeheartedly, and he had determined to do that, and he diligently, and then he left it and changed his mind, not out of the fear of Allah, changed his mind. For example, somebody who is determined to commit fornication, and he is preparing everything to commit fornication. He's cleaning himself up, he's getting ready for the meeting, he's making the house nice, all of these affairs like this, and then come to find out the woman was sick, she's not able to come over. He's still sinning, and he has the sin of that intention and the sin of that action. He has the sin of that intention and the sin of that action. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ And as if he had committed that. Even if he was about to do the same action, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ And then he thought about it, and he was like, no, if I do that with this woman, she's going to cost me money, she's going to ask for this and ask for that. Yani, so he didn't respond to her call. Not because of the fear of Allah, but because of other affairs that he decided he didn't want to do it like this. He had intended to do it entirely, 100%. And then whenever it came down to it, he thought about it. He was like, no, actually, if I get involved with this woman, she's going to spread this, or she's going to do that, or she's going to ask for this money and that money, and I'm not going to, I don't want to, deal with this woman. Like this, he still has the sin. The only way he can be safe out from this determination, and this is determination, this is not just an intention, or not just a thought. He's determined to do it. He has decided in his heart he's going to do it. This is what it means, that azm. And he's determined. غير متردد. He's not hesitant anymore. Now this intention here can only be fixed by repenting to Allah. By remembering, أعوذ بالله, how could I think about this? Astaghfirullah, Allah, he can see me, Allah can hear me. He leaves it out of the fear of Allah. Now he is safe from that sin. Now he was safe from that sin. And if the evidence is for this affair, they're going to come. We all know the position and the importance of the intention in our lives. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ That verily the deeds are there by way of the intention. And he based upon the intention with regards to whether they're correct or corrupt, or with regards to the reward or the punishment, and according to the intention. And likewise, this is the same affair with goodness as well. If a person, he had intended to do good, and he is determined to do an action of goodness, and he is prohibited for whatever the case may be, he has the reward of that. Even somebody who has the intention generally to do good every day, and he is upon that goodness daily, and then something prohibited him, like traveling or sickness, then he will have the reward of that. He would have the reward of that. Or if somebody, for example, he had intended to visit someone who was sick, or to visit his brother for the sake of Allah, for example, after Dhuhr, he had the intention to do this good like this, to visit a brother for the sake of Allah only, or to go visit someone who was sick, for example, a Muslim who was sick in the hospital, he had intended to do that. And then on his way there, something came up and he got diverted and he was not able to make it in time. He has the reward of that. He has the good of that, alhamdulillah. So this is the case. The one who has an intention to do good and he is determined to do that, he will have a great reward with Allah. And the one who has an intention to do evil and he's determined to do that, then likewise he will have the sin of that. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ And it has been narrated like this from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Bukhari. And with regards to these intentions, from the hadith of Abi Musa, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ سَافَرَ كَانَ كُتِبَ لَهُ إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ سَافَرَ كُتِبَ لَهُ مِثْلُ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلُ مُقِيمًا صَحِيحًا That if a person, he becomes sick, or he travels, then it will be written for him the actions that he used to do while he was healthy and a resident. And he said, the one who used to perform actions daily, and the only thing that prohibited him from performing those actions is because he was sick or because he was traveling, something came up. These are examples here. Then he will have the reward for that. كُتِبَ لَهُ مِثْلُ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلُ وَهُوَ صَحِيحًا مُقِيمًا That the same actions will be written for him. For example, if he prayed the sunnah every day, the rawatib, all of them, and then he prayed the night prayer, and he prayed the duha, or he used to fast on Monday and Thursday, or he used to do this deed or that deed, or he used to give charity on a regular basis to somebody, and the likes like this, and then he was prohibited because of a sickness, or something happened to his finances, or became preoccupied because of a business, or he was traveling, and the likes like this, and he left off the sunnah because that's the sunnah. He will have the reward of that. That whichever he did and that which he was upon before, and he had that general intention that he was upon daily, he would have the reward of that. This is from the favor and the bounty of Allah. This is from the favor and the bounty of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, the sin. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this a principle. He says, قَاعِدَةُ الشَّرِيعَةُ, the principle of the legislation, and الْعَزْمَ التَّامَّ إِذَا اِكْتَرَنَا بِهِ ما يمكن من القول أو مقدمات الفعل نزل صاحبه في الثواب والعقاب منزلة الفاعل. منزلة الفاعل التام. He said رحمه الله تعالى that the principle of the legislation is that the one who has complete determination to do something, he has complete determination to do something, and it's coupled with a statement. Or what he's able to is perform a statement or to do affairs that are introductory affairs, any leading to that. Then he's not able to do it. Then he will be considered in the same status, in the same rank as the one with regards to the reward and the punishment as the one had performed it. Exactly. He will have the same status and the same rank. And he's somebody who was able. Initially able, for example, to go out and to fight in the cause of Allah, and then something came up, he did not have the ability, he did not have the wealth, but he had this strong intention to go, he would have the reward of that. And somebody who had the intention to harm another Muslim, for example, or to harm a person, and then something happened and prohibited from that, and he came in his way and prohibited him from that, he would have the blame of that and the sin of that. Likewise, it's been narrated in Bukhari from the Hadith Anas that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was on a journey for a battle, and on an excursion before, and he said, "Inna aqwaman bil madinati khalfana ma salakna shi'ban wala wadiyan illa wa hum ma'ana fihi habasahum al-udhur." That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, there is a group of people back in Medina. There's a group of people back in Medina behind us, and there is no path that we take and no valley that we go through except they're with us in our efforts. Habasahum al-udhur. That excuse had held them back and kept them back. Meaning they are people who had intended to come and they wanted to be with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but a legislated excuse prohibited them from joining the journey. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that they are with them. There's not one step they take or one battle that they embark upon or any hardship or anything that they go through except for they share with them in their reward. They have the likes of that reward and the deed of that action because they had a legislated excuse that prohibited them from attending. So this is with regards to good. As for evil, then this is what the author he is referring to here. He says, وَفِي صَحِيحَيْنِ فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ عَنْ أَبِي بَكْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ In الصَّحِيحَيْنِ from the hadith of أَبِي بَكْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالْ إِذَا الْتَقَى الْمُسْلِمَانِ بِسَيْفَيْهِمَا فَالْقَاتِلُ وَالْمَقْتُولُ فِي النَّارِ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that whenever the two Muslims, they meet each other, both with their swords, each of them with their swords, فَالْقَاتِلُ وَالْمَقْتُولُ فِي النَّارِ The murderer and the one who is murdered, they're both in the fire. If two Muslims, they meet each other, with their swords, then the one who killed and the one who was killed, both of them are in the fire. قالوا يا رسول الله they said oh messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا القاتل فما بال المقتول he said we understand the issue of the one who killed him but as for the one who was killed why is he also along with him in the fire قال صلى الله عليه وسلم the prophet he said إنه كان حريصا على قتل صاحبه because he had been diligent he was diligent striving and effort in his intention and his efforts to kill the other person likewise. So this is a clear evidence for what the author is referring to. And this is a clear evidence likewise for what the principle that is mentioned by Ibn Qayyim, and for the principle mentioned by Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, with regards to sin. And there's two people, they're fighting. And both of them are trying to kill the other one. One of them was killed. Both of them in the fire. They said, the one who killed him is in the fire. This is clear for us because he committed murder. He killed a Muslim. He took a Muslim life without right. But what about the other one? He was killed. He was killed. But he had intended entirely, and he was making effort to kill him. The only thing that stopped him from killing him is that he was killed first. The only thing that stopped him, he is trying to kill the other person. The only reason why he was not able to do that because he was prohibited by being killed first. So had he not killed him first, he would have killed him first, and that's what they're trying to do. So therefore, they both share in sin. So the author, he says here, بَابُ ذِكْرِ تَمَنِّي الْمَعْصِيَةِ وَالْحِرْصِ عَلَيْهَا. And this is the chapter with regards to hoping, having desire in the heart and hoping, wanting to do disobedience, and wanting to perform actions of disobedience and being diligent upon that. So this person here, he had the intention and he made the efforts to kill that person, and he was not able to, only because he was killed first. So this is the reason why they both share. This is the reason why they both share in the sin and in the punishment. And so after this, the author, he says, وَنْ أَبِي كَبْشَةَ الْأَنْمَارِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا. And likewise, it is narrated from Abi Kabsha al-Anmari رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, مَثَلُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ كَمَثَلِ أَرْبَعَةِ رِجَالِ. The example of this ummah is the example of four men. The example of this ummah is the example of four men. رَجُلٌ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا وَعِلْمًا فَهُوَ يَعْمَلُ فِي مَالِهِ بِعِلْمِهِ. He said the first man, or the first type of man, this ummah is four men. The example of this ummah is the example of four men. The first example, or the first man, he is a man who Allah has given him wealth and knowledge. And he works in his wealth by way of his knowledge. And he uses his wealth based upon his knowledge. So then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَرَجُلٌ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ عِلْمًا وَلَمْ يُؤْتِهِ مَالًا. And a man whom Allah had given him knowledge, but he did not give him wealth. فَقَالَ لَوْ كَانَ لِي مَالٌ مِثْلَ مَالِ فُلَانٍ لَعَمِلْتُ فِيهِ مِثْلَ عَمَلِهِ. So the second person, he said, then the second person, who is he? Someone who was given knowledge, but he was not given wealth. So this person here, he said, if I had been given the wealth like the wealth of so-and-so, then I would have done the deeds like of so-and-so. So the first one, he had knowledge and he had wealth. And he used his wealth based upon his knowledge. And he's spending his wealth in the pleasure of Allah and the avenues that are permissible and allowed for him and the avenues of goodness. So the example of the first man is the one whom Allah had blessed him with wealth and knowledge. And he spent his wealth according to his knowledge. And he's seeking the pleasure of Allah, fulfilling the obligations of that wealth, and likewise that which is non-obligatory. Spending his wealth in the avenues of goodness, and in that which is allowed, and supporting the deen, and supporting the da'wah, and supporting the orphans, and supporting the poor, and helping those who are in need, and the likes like this, and in the avenues of good, and that which is lawful, and that which is wholesome, and that which is allowed. And he spends his wealth, yani, in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and also in that which is allowed for him. And this is a person who has a high rank and status and favor from Allah. The second example is the one who had been given knowledge, but he was not blessed with wealth. But because of his knowledge, and from the great knowledge is the knowledge of the intention, and the vast mercy and grace and bounty of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This person, he said to himself, and he sincerely, and between him and Allah, that if he had that wealth the likes of so-and-so, he would do the deeds of the likes of so-and-so. Meaning if he had the wealth like that, or if he didn't have wealth, then he would spend his wealth in the same manner. And he's supporting the khayr, and supporting the goodness, and supporting the masajid of Ahlul Sunnah, so on and so forth, for example. Supporting the orphans and the poor, and the likes like this, spreading knowledge and spreading books and the likes like this. And he benefiting the people in the avenues of khayr. And this is what he would do. He said, if I had the knowledge, if I had the wealth, I would spend it like this. I would build this house for the orphans, or I would build this house for the poor Muslims, or I would do this for the knowledge and for the da'wah, or I would do this for the masajid, or I would take care of this for like this. And he had that intention. And he will share with the reward. We will see. After this, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fahuma fil ajri sawa. Fahuma fil ajri sawa. They have, with regards to the reward, they're the same. With regards to the reward, they're the same. The first one, he had the knowledge and the wealth, and he has the wealth and the application. The application. The second one, he has the knowledge, but he didn't have the wealth, but he had the intention. He had the sincere intention. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, with regards to the ajr, with regards to the reward, for huma sawa, they're the same. They're the same. The people of knowledge, they mentioned, they're the same, meaning both of them are sharing in the reward of the action. Both of them, they're sharing in the reward of the action. The first one, he had the knowledge and the wealth, and he performed that action. The second one, he had the knowledge and the intention to perform that action. So not only is he rewarded for his intention, the good intention, but he's rewarded for that action as if he had done it. Because he intended to do it and he was determined to do it. If he had the money, he would do it like this. So therefore, he shares with the one who did it and the reward for performing the action. Not meaning that they had the same amount of reward. Because no doubt, the one who actually fulfilled the action and he performed the deed himself, he has a greater rank and a higher status and more reward with Allah Azza wa Jal. But the point is, the one who intended that, he shares with him in the fact that he's rewarded as well for the deed. That he's rewarded as well, and he for his noble intention, and likewise for the deed. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, وَرَجُلٌ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا وَلَمْ يُؤْتِهِ عِلْمًا. And a man who Allah had given him wealth and did not give him knowledge. فَهُوَ يَتَخَبَّطُ فِي مَالِهِ لَا يَدْرِي مَا لَهُ وَمَا عَلَيْهِ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man who Allah had given him wealth but did not give him knowledge. So therefore, he is all over the place with the khabbatu fi marihi. He's using his wealth here and there. He does not even know what's for him or against him. And he's putting his money here and there, spending his money to fulfill his desires and to fulfill his whims and to fulfill his pleasures and his lust. Or he'll maybe even use the wealth and that which is haram and that which is impermissible and that is not allowed. And he will support the innovators or the people of misguidance, or he will support with his wealth even the Christians and the disbelievers and so on and so forth. And he will spend his money in falsehood and in vain and in a foul way. He does not know what is good for him from his wealth and what is not good. Because a person, if he has wealth and no money, this is a calamity for him. And the sign that Allah wants good for somebody is not that he gives him wealth. And this hadith here is a clear evidence of that. And there's even a hadith that's more clear than that. And in the hadith of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man yurida lahu bi khayra yufaqihu fi ddeen. Then whoever Allah wants good for, give him understanding in the religion. So if he had understanding in the religion, and he had wealth on top of that, alhamdulillah, khayr upon khayr, qad dhahaba ahlu dhuthul bil wujur. As we have seen in the previous classes. And this is a favor from Allah Azza wa Jal, and a blessing from Allah, and ikram from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the one who has wealth, but he has no knowledge, and he spends it in his desires and his whims, and this is istidraj for that person. Waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah. So then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَرَجُلٌ لَمْ يُؤْتِهِ اللَّهُ مَالٍ وَلَا عِلْمًا. And a man who Allah did not give him wealth nor knowledge. فَقَالَ لَوْ كَانَ لِي مِثْلُ مَالِ فُلَانٍ لَعَمِلْتُ فِيهِ مِثْلَ مَا عَمِلَ فُلَانٍ. He said that if I had the one who has no knowledge and he has no wealth, he said about himself, he said, if I only had the wealth of so-and-so, and the one who had wealth with no knowledge, and he likewise would want to spend his wealth and his desires and his whims because he has no knowledge. Any knowledge of the hereafter. What is intended here, that Allah did not give him knowledge, meaning he did not give him knowledge of Tawheed. He did not give him knowledge of the hereafter. He did not give him knowledge of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not meaning that he doesn't have any knowledge. Maybe the one who has wealth, probably comes from his knowledge. Knowledge of the dunya. Knowledge of the dunya. But this is not true knowledge. The true knowledge and the knowledge that is beneficial, that will aid a person and will draw a person near to Allah, is the knowledge of the hereafter. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنَ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. Those people like this, these two examples here, they only know that which is apparent from the worldly life. And as for and with regards to the hereafter, they are heedless. They are heedless. So Allah, He did not give this individual knowledge, any knowledge of the hereafter. Knowledge of the hereafter. Nor did He give him wealth. So what does He say? He said, if I had knowledge, if I had the wealth of so-and-so, the one who spent his wealth also without knowledge according to the Tawheed and to the hereafter, then he would do the same thing. And he would spend it according to his desires and to his whims, and he would invest it in every foul way and anything that he can find wealth or property or fulfill his desires and whims. And the life's like this, he would spend it in that manner, chasing his desires and his lusts and his vain pleasures. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَهُمَا فِي الْوِزْرِ سَوَى فَهُمَا فِي الْوِزْرِ سَوَى So these two people, they are the same with regards to the sin. And they are the same with regards to the sin. And it's the same case. No doubt the one who performed the actions is more severe. It's more severe. But the one who had intended and desired and hoped to perform the action and he was not able to, then he also shares in that with his intention and also as if he performed the action. And in sin, he has the sin of that. So again, this is a clear evidence for the dangers of having a desire to disobey Allah. And that if a person, he has that strong in his heart, and he has determined to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever the case may be, he will be held accountable for that. He will be held accountable for that if he did not repent from that. If he did not repent from that. For example, if somebody had intended to drink alcohol, and then whenever he got to the store, it was closed. He had intended to drink alcohol, and he's taking the trip, and he gets there, and the doors are locked, and he's not able to get it. Or he tries to get the alcohol or the likes, and then they ran out, and they don't have any more. The only thing that stopped him is because he couldn't get his hands on it. And this person has fallen into the sin of that, and he has the sin of that. He has the sin of that action. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ We see an example like this of the one what was the question? How does it go? The one who found some alcohol on the side, the one who performed an action that is mubah, the one who performed an action that is mubah, but he thought it was haram. These are evidences for that principle we discussed before, that somebody may do something that's permissible, it's allowed, but because he thought it was haram, because he thought it's impermissible, then he will be held accountable for that. All of this here is evidence for that principle that we took before. Remember that. Somebody had intended, for example, he's walking down the street and he looks over and there's a bag. He looks in the bag and it's a six-pack of beer. A six-pack of beer. He looks around and checks around. He doesn't see anybody. He snatches it up and goes to his house. He snatches it up and goes to his house. And then whenever he's in his house, he drinks it and he drinks it and he drinks it. And then he's thinking to himself, I don't feel nothing. He's not drunk. He's not drunk yet. And then he looks at it and he finds out that it's alcohol-free. It's alcohol-free beer. Is he sinning? Yes. He's sinning. Why? He had intended. He wanted that. He desired that. He lusts for that. He tried to get that. He was only prohibited because he didn't read the label first. Because he didn't read the label first. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ So this is the case here, then, the intention to commit sin. The intention to commit sin. The people of knowledge, they mentioned a great benefit. We see there are four people here. And two of them, they have the ability and they do it. And the other two, they're just looking on the sideline and they're wishing to be like them. And this is the case of mankind with regards to the blessings of Allah. And this is the example of mankind with regards to the bounties and the blessings of Allah, ni'matullah. There are people with regards to the blessings of Allah, they receive them, they show thanks to Allah for them, and they use them in His pleasure. And there are others that receive the bounties and the blessings of Allah, and they see them, and they do not show any thanks for them, and they use them in the disobedience of Allah, and in the anger of Allah. And there are others looking at them, wishing they could be like them. This is the case. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ